Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at Marines.com.
These two guys have Minnesota sports flowing in their veins. Mackie and Judd on Score North and ScoreNorth.com.
Welcome in to a Feedback Friday edition of Mackie and Judd. Daily Minnesota sports, entertainment, speculation, therapy, whatever you need from us. We appreciate all of you who have made Purple Daily the 7th ranked podcast on Apple's National Football Podcast Rankings this Friday. It's kind of cool. We had Judd waving the flag over on Purple Daily for that. Go check that out. We have two daily shows. That's right. So I got a bunch of Vikings feedback here. You can always hit us up through the Score North app for Feedback Friday. You can send us messages, comments, concerns, critiques. We got a couple kind of fun off the beaten path ones we'll get to here today, but gentlemen, let's start with Joe Chester here. He says, I certainly get the Viking strategy from a financial standpoint, creating some cap space for 2024 and beyond with a lot of their moves and doing some version of a rebuild. However, at least in 2023, they look more like the Twins financially with their decision-making, finding bargains with injured or underperforming players and hoping you hit on them. Is that a fair comparison? That the Vikings are now the... Well, at least for this period, they're the Minnesota Twins shopping in the used DVD bin.
Here's why I would say that's not necessarily an apples to apples or fair comparison, because I get the point completely. Like, the point makes sense, but there's a couple things to keep in mind here. You are clearing cap space, but you've been up against the cap, and you've been up against the cap for a long while. And so you are hoping to get out of this cap purgatory here. So you're looking for bargains, but you're also not signing veterans who are at the end of their careers, i.e. a Rich Hill or a Homer Bailey. You're signing mid-20s guys who have had injury problems, the short-term contracts, but have the ability potentially in your mind to rebound. And if they rebound, they're going to give you far more than what they're being paid. So I think where this is very different is the Twins don't have a salary cap to sort of work around and deal with. And so their moves are completely independent of actual real concerns about what the league says they can and can't do. This is not that. And so I get the comparison, but no, I think this is all part of a strategic way of trying to build back up a bit. And when you look at the guys that they've signed, like if they work out, great. But if they don't, it's short-term contracts too.
Yeah, I would, in terms of apples to apples or apples to oranges, or why is it always apples to oranges, by the way?
It could be apples to pears.
Like pears, I was going to say that. What about the plum?
Peach.
Banana? How about
apples
a banana?
Apples are the best.
Well, that's not, it's not necessarily true.
You're saying apples are the best fruit?
Yeah.
I like apples, but they're apples not necessarily.
That's why I start with apples. You always say apples first.
Then that should change. I don't necessarily agree with that across the board.
I think grapefruit is actually the best fruit.
Ooh, low key. I do mess with some grapefruit. I do love me some little sugar on top.
Hold on a second, you guys.
Really good.
Let's start at the most important place. Let's start with grapes. Those red grapes are my favorite.
You know, the only thing about grapes is I love grapes, but I know that, like, if your dog accidentally eats grapes, you have a problem.
Yep.
Like, Maya ate a raisin the other night, and I was on Reddit
again?
For an hour. Well, she ate a bowl of Raisin Bran.
What's going on at your house?
We first got her, and we had to get it.
What is going on at your house? Do I need to come over as doggy protection?
Yeah. I got separation anxiety. Phil's feeding his dogs Raisin Bran and grapes.
Good God!
She was Well, when we we've had her for her gotcha day is next week. Her nice. Her 1 year Aww. Gotcha day.
Oh my! Well, that's cute. Oh my, I never heard that.
Yeah. So she it was like a few weeks into having her, and I don't know. We had some I Love Raisin Bran, and and we had a bowl. Let's just say one of us had a bowl of Raisin Bran sitting out. Okay. Just literally for 30 seconds while one of us went to go get a phone charger or something. And in those 30 seconds, not only did she discover the bowl, but ate everything in it like a vacuum. And so at first it was like, I mean, how bad can it be, right? And then we started looking at raisins and toxicity. And so called the vet and they said, bring her in right now.
Yeah.
And they had to induce. But she had one raisin the other night, even one raisin. I was on Reddit for an hour trying to figure out, is this a problem? But it's been 48 hours and she's been fine. So.
Okay.
Stella hates fruit. It's great.
You're safe then.
She hates fruit. Okay. She is so picky. Hmm. Dare I say she is a bitch.
Wow. Jeez, dude.
Well, she's a dog. She's a girl dog.
Quite literally. Apples to oranges. So no matter what, whether you love or hate the Vikings free agent signings, whether you think that the blocking tight end was a bargain bin guy or not, the Vikings are going to spend $220 million on their 2023 football team, because that's what the NFL salary cap, you have to spend, I think, don't you have to spend above the 90% floor?
You have to, right? Yes. There's a floor and a ceiling, so you're correct.
So, like, and it's a very tight window. So every team has to spend. So the Chicago Bears are going to wind up overpaying for players that don't deserve, because they have to fill, like, 50, after all their moves, they still have, like, $50 million in cap space.
Yep.
So the Vikings are going to spend the same amount of money as every other team, the New York teams and everyone, based on the way the NFL's salary structure is set up. The Twins opening day payroll right now is $137 million, which is $170 million less than the Mets. It's $130 million less than the Yankees. The Phillies, the Padres, the Dodgers, the Blue Jays, the Angels all have $200 million payroll. So that's why it's not, because when the Twins do bargain bin signings, it is literally to keep the cost down on their players. Mm-hmm. When the Vikings do it, it's because they don't have enough space within the 220 to go get, like, you know, a better player, I guess, right. If that explains it. But, I don't think you're going to nail it every time. And I think you have to be careful, like, being obsessed with the strategy, but Kwesi's idea of finding stocks that were once first round, highly touted stocks. They're not that old yet. They're 25 years old or younger, and placing bets on those. If you took, you know, what are the bets he's placed now? Blacklock, Rager, Davenport, Byron Murphy was a second round pick, the free agent they signed.
Right.
And there's probably, and TJ Hockenson, although his stock didn't really drop. He was, I don't think he's ever lived up quite to a top 10 overall pick, but Kwesi's placed about six or seven of these bets on guys that were first or second round picks and they're young. Mm-hmm. If three or four of them hit, boom. Great strategy.
It's definitely not trying to be cheap.
Yeah, it's
like it's got nothing to do with being cheap.
You know, as someone who has recently started an investment account, I would love to ask Kwesi, like, how does he view, like, bonds and stocks, and, like, how does that equate to certain players or draft picks? You know, because, like, bonds are obviously safer, right? Like, they offer, you know, more secure returns. They don't.
Kirk Cousins is a bond. He's a very expensive bond.
But
you know exactly what you're going to get from Kirk Cousins.
But in those, like, emerging marketing stocks, the stocks that not everyone has, like, how much of your portfolio do you want to invest into that? And is it going to exceed your expectation? What's the volatility
not
risk?
Necessarily.
I would love to know all these questions about it.
Well, Marcus Davenport is like, Marcus Davenport's like crypto. He's like Ethereum or something.
Yeah.
You know, if you get lucky, boom, you could all of a sudden now, you know, he's the next currency or something.
Right.
But he could also just burn a hole in your pocket and you go on to find something else to invest in.
Crypto.
All right. Steve Graff says, hello, I listen to pretty much every episode you all put out. Thank you, Steve. Great content, even when opinions may differ on what's being thrown out. One note on the comments I've heard thrown out many times lately is how much money the Vikings have in cap space for 2024, but never with a very important clarification. The roster is only about half full for 2024. They need to still add around 25 players. It fluctuates by the day. Likely still have the cap flexibility to make big splashes, but it's worth noting so viewers know that $20 to $30 million or more may go to depth spots alone. And that's a valid point.
Mm-hmm.
Although, in, let's see, in 2024, I'm just looking at this right now. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. I think they might have more than you think. 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17. Nick Mullins.
Carry the two. 18, 19, 20.
Well, and guys can be cut off that list as well to create more room.
Well, they have about
room.
30 players under contract, so they do need 20. And by the way, it's top 51 players on the roster count to the salary cap, just right. So people know.
So the way to think about this as well, though, is that just because you're going to have or potentially have an influx of cap space, it doesn't mean that, like, you're getting star players left and right. Like, we're literally talking about the Vikings should have the ability at the rate things are going to make a few splash signings next March, mm-hmm. which this year they really didn't. So, like, it's been a while. But, you know, go back to Childress's first year and you sign Longwell and Chester Taylor and Hutchinson to the big contract. That was the type of year where you've got enough cap space to operate.
Yeah.
And Jefferson's contract, yes, Jefferson's contract is going to take a big chunk out of things eventually here, but that's not going to kick in full until 2025. So, yeah, the accounting of this whole thing is confusing as hell, but I think the simplest way to put it is next March, the Vikings should have the ability to make a few splash signings, which will make free agency even more fun.
So, right now, before accounting for, like, Za'Darius coming off the books and Dalvin coming off the books, the Vikings next season for 2024 are right in the middle of the pack with about 50. So it's $75 million in cap space, but it's $58 million in effective cap space, which accounts for filling your roster with either rookies or league minimum guys up to 51 spots. So, and that number, by the way, I think just for fun here, because, you know, and by the time people listen to this, my guess is there's decisions made on both Dalvin and Za'Darius. But if you were to cut, let's say you cut both those guys, you would now be up to, so you'd go from, this is crazy, you'd go from $75 million in cap space. You cut those two guys, $112 million in cap space by saying goodbye to those. Now, of course, you'd be without both those guys. But how hard is it to replace at this point an aging Dalvin Cook?
Right.
And an aging Za'Darius Smith, right? So, all right, a lot of nuts and bolts there. Let's see here. Dan Orlovsky tweeted earlier this week, and this generated some buzz on the internet. The question is, how many times do you use a towel post-shower until you throw it in the laundry? I use a towel 30 times or so until it goes in the laundry. What's the number for you guys?
My fiance, thankfully, 5 seconds ago, just left the front door to go walk the dog, so she can't hear what I used to live like before she met me.
Uh-oh. Or did she fake you out? She's sitting around the corner.
Yeah,
right.
She's actually, I'm waiting for a knock on the door. So I'll be honest. In my freewheeling bachelor days, I definitely went 30-plus times without washing that towel.
Mm-hmm.
Easily. Now, in my defense, I didn't have any unit laundry, which is a huge thing to have. And I love having unit laundry. But nowadays, now that I'm taken care of, now that we have in-unit laundry, those towels are being washed.
You don't do your own laundry now that you're in a relationship?
She won't let me. She won't let me do my laundry. I actually enjoy doing laundry. I do enjoy it if it's available to me. I'm not going to go up the stairs or I'm not. I've tried. I've done it twice in the 9 months we lived here. We're not redoing this apartment, but I've tried, and both times she gets
that's
mad at
break,
me.
That's shocking breaking news right there.
Yeah.
That you won't be back in your apartment.
Yeah. We probably wash those. She probably washes those, I would say, at least once a week, easily.
Yeah, I would say I was much, much guiltier as a bachelor 10-plus years ago. Yeah, I don't. 30 still seems like, man, I mean, that's a long. Because 30, well, I guess I interpret it as at least 30 days, right? Unless he's. No, if he showers twice a day or
right,
something,
he might work,
it's 2 weeks.
He works out.
He's definitely a twice a shower day guy.
I agree.
Easily.
Yep, because he probably. Okay. Yeah, because he works out for sure during the day and then showers. And he probably showers in the morning or something. I'm with you, Dex.
But he might shower at a gym or something, you know, and then.
That's true.
I would worry, though, if you're leaving your towel out there for more than 2 or 3 weeks. What about sheets? I've been guilty of this in the past too, but
I'm bad at sheets.
That's what can get you, man. Then you get the scabies or whatever they call them, right? I haven't had those yet, but
well, your skin starts to shed.
Your skin starts to shed. The issue, it's an all day thing though. Like washing bedding.
Yeah,
not just sheets,
it's
like
such a
bedding.
Pain.
And then you got to put it on. And how many times? Like when you
help.
Put the what's the elastic one called? Like the one that goes
sheet, like the
down sheet.
Right.
I would say I bat like 15% on getting that right the first time. I always guess wrong on which side is supposed to go.
Oh, that's a tough one too. The problem with sheets too is it's not washing them. It's what you just said, putting them back on. And there is nothing better to start a brawl in your house because you need help. At least I do. Like trying to put the sheet on by yourself because you got to be running back and forth is damn near impossible. So it has to be you and the wife or girlfriend. And there is no better way to start a fight because the impatience between the
over
two of
sheets,
you,
over sheets, but,
to put them back on.
If
yeah,
that's your, vice, it's like, that's your problem. I think you guys are doing pretty good.
It's like, you know, get no, do this, no, do that, or I'll put it on wrong. And then I get chastised and it all goes to hell.
Yeah, I can't decide if a fight over sheets means that like, wow, that's all that you
well,
have.
It's not a fight. It's at our point, which is going to be 30 years next month. It's the quibbling. So it's not like a fight. Fight's too strong.
No, yeah. It's
the quibbling, right?
It's quibbling.
No, yeah. That's not the way to do it. No, but come on. Let's just get this done. And by the end, I'm just like, just let my dead skin lie on this.
No,
I'll get in bed.
No.
I'll get in bed.
I would say I have a full bed, and it's even in this guest room right here next to me recording. And now we have a king, which, by the way, is like one of the greatest investments I have ever made in my entire life is a king.
Look at Declan. Declan turns 30, and he becomes an adult. He starts an investment account and gets a king-size bed. And starts having his towels washed more than twice a year.
Yep, it's a lot of strides. Shocking, you know. Some people went down during COVID. I, whatever reason, peaked. I saw this is the lowest point for everyone in the world. So how can Declan rise up from the ashes and
oh yeah, you got to find the good, man.
Yeah.
So the thing with towels, as far as I'm concerned though, is it's much like baseball. It's very situational. So like I don't have a rule about towels. I probably do a load of laundry 3 times a week now. And by the way, I'm in charge. I've taken charge of dishes, laundry. But, you know, towels is, it's like, okay, let's just say that you're down to, you jump in the shower and you have a towel in your bathroom. It's been there a while, but you really didn't think about this until you jumped in the shower.
Oh, I've been here.
And let's say the towel's been used quite a bit.
Yep.
You're not going to, I'm not going to at least get out of the shower, dripping wet, go to the closet, so I'm going to use the old towel. So let's say it's been used 15 times. It's getting used a 16th time. But that being said, I don't do it on purpose. And I am mindful of the stuff that, you know, drying off takes a lot of work and there's a lot of different places to dry. So I'm very mindful of that as I do my laundry.
Also, as someone who lived in a house of upwards of 6 dudes at one point in college, which I know there's probably a bunch of college guys that listen to this podcast and consume our stuff.
It's a lot of people.
Hang up your towels. Don't put a wet towel on the floor, dude. It's very easy. Hang it over the shower curtain. Hang
it
over the railing.
Don't be a savage.
Dry it off. Disgusting.
Get it dried off.
That part's gross. If you're not going to wash it a lot, all right, that's disgusting. But at least hang up the towel and the floor mat. Put the floor mat over the tub. It's very easy. It's not hard to do that either.
Mm. Jim Zimmerman chimes in here and says, I haven't heard any mention of outside linebacker edge rusher Kenny Willekes so far. He came back to the Vikings on Purple Daily. Do you, to use Judd's favorite word, I think he could be very intriguing in Brian Flores' 3-4 defense. What say you? Keep up the good work, Jim Zimmerman. So, yeah, I don't know. I mean, Willekes was, we don't really know anything about him. Willekes, wasn't he a practice squad guy for a little while? He was a 7th-round pick by the Vikings in 2020. He played 0 snaps last year. Might have been banged up a little bit. He played 200 snaps in 2021. We just don't know a lot about him yet. Michigan State, 6'4", 260. He is only 25 years old, but yeah, like he's, he exists on the roster, and they liked him enough to bring him back, and he fits the age window. So,
the offseason program, as far as the practices go and training camp, are going to be very intriguing to see who flashes, because Flores is going to give guys chances. They have to. So, yes, I don't know exactly who, but somebody or a group of players are going to get opportunities that they probably didn't. And if they can embrace them, i.e. a Patrick Jones, I'm not going to be surprised at all if at some point in time in, you know, October or November of next season on Purple Daily, we are talking about, you know, at least a couple of defensive players who we have not talked a lot about previously, but have been on the roster.
Yeah, I think I would say this about guys like Willekes. You need guys like him on the team. He might need to fill in at some point. I would be shocked if a seventh round pick from 3 years ago going into his fourth year, who's only played a couple hundred snaps outside of special teams. Like, I would be shocked if all of a sudden he was a key figure in your defense.
Yep.
But yeah, you need depth guys. You need human beings to fill out a 53-man roster who can do something. So that's kind of what Kenny Willekes is. DJ K Squared from the Purple Daily Leadership Cabinet chimes in here. If you want to apply for the Purple Daily Leadership Cabinet, go to scorenorth.com/cabinet. That's scorenorth.com/cabinet. The Scorenorth merchandise store, where you can get your Purple Daily Before I Die hoodies and Before I Die t-shirts. That will be scorenorth.com/shop. scorenorth.com/shop. DJ K Squared from the Leadership Cabinet says, love the show and the amazing content. I was thinking we should keep a fun spreadsheet of Judd's fantastic hashtag sayings. And when there's a lull in the football action, which is hardly ever, create a poll for the audience's favorites and rank them. I've learned so much this offseason. Look forward to much more. Well, the latest one was Brian Flores is going to do stuff.
He's going to do stuff.
Do stuff.
Hashtag.
He's going to do a lot of stuff.
Do stuff. What's that meme where it's like the guy poking something with a stick saying,
oh, that weird looking guy. Yeah.
Do stuff.
Do stuff. Do something. Do stuff. Yes. Brian Flores is going to do a lot of stuff.
We should make a list of that at some point. You know, you can do stuff like get your knives sharpened at mydullknives.com, where the folks at Vivrant do stuff. They'll send you a safe and professional mail kit, and you can send your dull, boring knives on a little vacation to knife paradise. Right. In fact, I'm stopping over there today at the store in Wayzata I've yet to stop into the actual shop, which you can if you want to, but mydullknives.com, they'll send you a professional mail kit that's safe. You won't stab the mailman. Don't have to worry about that. And Vivrant will sharpen your knives and mail them back to you all within just a few days. And they'll send you replacement knives if you want to as well. This has definitely heightened our game in the kitchen. The last couple of weeks, old Macadac's been making some high-end sandwiches, turkey pesto sandwiches and different things.
Oh, nice. And
man, cutting into those tomatoes now.
Yeah.
Full confidence.
Be careful,
I'm not
going to
just squish the tomato and
be careful. Be careful with those knives.
I know. I got to get my fat thumbs out of the way now that
You do
have actually sharpened knives. MyDullKnives.com to avoid the embarrassment of being a person with dull knives. MyDullKnives.com.
Sharp knives are great, though. Like, if you're cutting stuff, it's so satisfying when it just cuts pure.
It is. Yeah, that sounds a little serial killer-like, actually.
I'm talking about food.
The way you just said it. But
when it cuts pure, when it's so like, pure. Bang, and then it's done, that's great. No.
When it pierces.
When it's a knife, what am I supposed to say?
When it pierces.
You know, when it pierces that orange skin. No, I'm not talking about humans. I'm talking about cutting things.
Oh, man.
It's a great feeling of satisfaction. Real chefs, sous chefs throughout the country. You know what? They love a good knife.
Yeah, oh, my God. It's sharp. And for bookkeeping their decks, my guy Kyle, Flagrant Howls Kyle, has been in Hawaii all week.
Excellent. It looks amazing.
Wanted to throw Vivrant a little extra love here on Mackie and Judd.
Back to Hawaii.
Kyle said, yeah.
What's
so he's
more paying him for this freelance?
not enough to be in Hawaii twice in 3 weeks, but he's amazing, and we're going to be firing it back up next week. But he was saying his dad just turned 70, and they were golfing in, I think, Maui together. It's the first... His last name is Tyge. It's the first Tyge male to live to the age of 70, he said.
Genetics, man. That's wild.
Good for him. That's awesome.
Incredible.
I said, well, Kyle, let the odds be with you, I guess.
Yeah. Well, 69, I've told you, is tough for men. It's a tough age for men. That's a big one to get past.
69 is tough for men. Yeah.
It's tough.
Well, that's another Judd one we can put in the spreadsheet.
69 is tough for men. You got to get over the hump.
Oh, man. All right, let's see here. Cody Anderson chimes in, says, hey, guys, haven't written in for a while, but happy to say I'm back to listening daily after a hiatus. I was at the playoff game versus the Giants and was sick to my stomach about the team and couldn't get myself to listen to Vikings content for a while. Oh, man, that's too bad. But welcome back. I want to pose a scenario, and I'm curious to get your guys' thoughts. Let's say we let Kirk play out the contract, let him walk next year. I also don't think if that happens, we're going to have the ammo. Well, before then, even we're not going to have the ammo to move up to get a worthwhile quarterback in this year's draft. Looks like those guys are all going to go in the top six or seven picks, right? And so if Kirk comes back, that puts us in a spot where we just have Kirk. We don't have a guy behind him. There's no second-year guy that would take over after Kirk is done. And I think with the additions we've made on defense, we have a good chance to be a 10-win team again this year, which puts us drafting in the late teens, early 20s again in 2024. With this scenario, do you think we would draft a quarterback still in 2024? How would that work, basically? I mean, he's painted the likely scenario, right? Which is
yes.
They're not going to trade up to six or whatever it would take to get a quarterback this year.
Yes.
But they're still going to be good enough to not be a top 10 drafting team next year, which is kind of the story of the Vikings, I guess.
Well, keep in mind, we only know a portion of the plan. Like, you can deduct the plan, and you can, from what he just wrote, and he's right, you can sort of start to figure out where things are trending. But the ultimate answer, I mean, I think that there's alternatives here. One is Kirk sticks around. You might not want to hear it, but that's going to get that 2024 massive cap hit down if he plays well. Like, I wouldn't dismiss that this is it. It appears so at this point in time. But there is still an option, assuming Kirk is not traded, which I don't think he will be, for Kirk to be the quarterback beyond 2023. That's option one.
Mm-hmm.
Option two is a guy like Trey Lance, who they could trade for. Like we don't know for sure that they wouldn't. We don't know that that's a – so that there are quarterbacks around the league who are young and developing but not yet or not beginning their first contract who are options. Option three is a bridge guy. And a bridge guy might not be great, but guess what? That means you do get a high draft pick.
Yeah.
And option four is a massive trade to go up. So I think the Vikings have laid out potential scenarios, but I don't even think that they have a like definitive, this is what we're doing yet.
You know, okay, you mentioned that it is possible that they get, I think a Kirk extension before the season is unlikely at this point because they just redid the structure of his deal. So he has, so he's going to get paid this year, $30 million in cash. The way the accounting works, considering previous money that they've kicked down the road and his current money, his cap hit is $20 million for this year, but it's $28.5 million for next year. If they were to do an extension, the cap penalty, if you will, would be added on top of the 28.5. So no matter what, like an extension would just create a huge bubble of cap. However, you got to put it somewhere. You can either. So just for fun, like let's say you were to do, you get into the season. You're like, oh, this is going pretty well. Yeah. We're out. We're like 5-2 to start the season. Kirk's playing really well. We're not going to be drafting high enough to go get Caleb Williams or whoever, May is the other quarterback, right? So if you were to do, let's say you were to do like another, like a 2-year deal or something to take him through age 36.
Right.
I'm totally making this up and I'm just using the over the cap calculator. Let's say it was, so after 2023, let's say it was a 2-year, what would it get? It'd be at least Daniel Jones money. So at least two years, 80, right?
Yep.
Should we just say 2 years, 80 just for the sake of this?
Sure. Yes, absolutely.
2 years, 80. And just to smooth it out, because you do have the four void years to play with here. Let's say it was a $25 million signing bonus, and then it was a base salary. What would the bases be there? Be 55, so it'd be like 22. Let's call it 23 million base. You guys will see where I'm going with this in a second here, because I have a point that I'm going to prove. All right, you then would have. So your bonus would be 25 million spread out, and then so your cap hits would be $40 million for each of 2024 and 25, and then like 20 million in void when he's 39 and 40 years old.
Mm-hmm.
So no matter what, like if you keep extending him,
yeah, you're gonna pay.
It's like huge cap bubbles, but it's not, I wouldn't rule it out. I wouldn't rule an extension out at this point.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
John Hobbs on Twitter says, would enjoy hearing your opinion on this story that came out last week. I don't know if you guys saw this. Jim Boeheim's friend, who owns a radio company in Syracuse, fired a radio host in Syracuse on the big sports station in Syracuse for being too negative about Syracuse sports. And the quotes in this article from this guy, like, goes on the record, the station owner saying, yes, I'm friends with Jim Boeheim, and yes, I'm a huge supporter. I think he's like a booster of Syracuse athletics. Sure. And, you know, we feel like we are fair in our criticism, but this host was just way too negative and dark. He's like the Judd Zolgad of Syracuse sports talk show hosts. What did you think of that story? What do you think of a host being too negative about a local team and getting fired for it?
Well, I think that the most important thing is this. On the local radio scene here, no one's job in jeopardy. So the most important thing is Minneapolis and St. Paul is safe. No one's going to get fired.
No one's being too negative?
No one's being too negative. Nobody's in jeopardy on the radio.
Not on TV either.
I'd love to say it surprises me, or like, I can't believe it, but I can totally believe it. It's 2023 and in a college town where like that is the team. Sadly, I was not the least bit surprised by it at all. Not at all.
I wasn't that surprised. By the way, Brent Axe, I believe, is the name of the host. Put some respect on his name.
And I believe he is a columnist at the paper as well.
True.
Okay.
Yep.
Yeah, Brent Axe. In fact, you got to hear some of these quotes. All right, this is from the station manager. It's Galaxy Radio president and CEO Ed Levine said he fired Axe because he believes the content of Axe's show had become too negative towards Syracuse sports. I had a problem with the content of the show, Levine said. I'm a Syracuse fan. I'm sorry, but I bleed orange. I'm not going to apologize for that. And I think a fair reading of the orange is appropriate. I understand we have a business relationship with Syracuse and that Coach Boeheim and I are personal friends and he's an investor in my company.
But besides that,
other than those three major conflicts of interest,
I am a journalistic. I am Red Smith.
I understand and acknowledge all of that. We've called it pretty fair, and I would argue we've been tough on Syracuse when the on-field or off-the-field events warrant it. I just think over the past 6 months, it took a different tone and became overly dark and negative. I don't think that's what Syracuse fans want to hear. And then he kind of goes on from there.
Yeah.
I think it's kind of reflecting of the way that the leverage has shifted in sports media over the past 10 or 15 years, in that organizations have their own platforms or have more influence because some of these third party organizations are no longer like the place where you find discussion about the team. And so like take local, like Minneapolis media, for instance. For years and years and years, if an athlete wanted something out there, or an owner or a coach in the 60s, the 70s, the 80s, they needed Sid Hartman and the Star Tribune's platform to get a quote out to the masses, right? If it's 1985 and the Vikings wanted something out to the public,
Yeah, TV. Or
they weren't. They couldn't. You couldn't go on Vikings.com in 1985 or go to the Vikings Twitter account where they have millions of followers. You had to open the non-affiliated, third-party, objective, usually. Although Sid never pretended to be objective.
Objective, yeah.
But like the paper, and then they would balance out with a Patrick Royce or somebody who was more critical, right? But today, the Vikings don't need third-party media in their minds. I would argue that like the storytelling and some of the professional, like the Chip Scoggins of the world, can do the organizations a favor both with great profiles, but also by holding, I think sometimes just holding an organization accountable helps the organization, right? Because it keeps them from falling into a lull. I think sometimes the Twins have fallen into a lull where like the coverage of the Twins is pretty soft over the past 15 to 20 years. Mm-hmm. So the more that we scale back on third party objective, call it negative commentary or journalism, I think the more you're going to see that layer just kind of dissipate. And that this is a great example. Syracuse and the media company are in cahoots, very much so. They're in financial cahoots.
Yeah.
And so, and I don't know, maybe Brent Axe was wrong or maybe he was too negative. I don't know. But Brent Axe brings a perspective that Syracuse doesn't want people to hear, right? It's basically he's not state-run media, and so they got rid of him.
If they've got the rights, like when you have the rights, you have to be careful. There's no question about it. Like yeah, you can't
you're
just get on
for the rights.
Yeah, you if you get on there and flame the college or the pro team, the people that run your station are going to get phone calls.
Yeah, I think it's, I guess, candidly for us, there was a time. So if you want to take like the 13 years that I personally have been, so it's been 4 years with Score North, which we launched in 2019. And then it was 9 years of 1500 ESPN all under the Hubbard Radio umbrella. And we essentially, you know, after 9 years, we said, man, we got to find younger audiences. We got to find a new way to produce content and we got to change the game here. So we did. But on the radio side, for the first 2 or 3 years that I was at 1500 ESPN and you joined a year in, so you've been along for this whole ride and Declan's for about half of it. Having the Twins partnership was hugely helpful because at the time, AM radio was, I wouldn't say thriving in like 2010, but AM radio was still very much, you know, hundreds of thousands of listeners in a given week or a month. And if you had the Minnesota Twins baseball rights, there was a time in like 2009 where they'd have a million people in a week listening to Twins baseball on 1500 ESPN radio.
Absolutely.
And so having that partnership with the Twins brought all these listeners. It was a great marketing tool for the radio station. Could it maybe cause you to pull some punches on a microphone or in an article that maybe you wouldn't quite say the honest truth about something? I'd like to think, like, I think in our case, we were never told what to say or do.
Right.
But it probably made you think twice a couple times, you know.
Well, and I think that to this story about Syracuse, colleges are far worse because we had what, men's basketball and women's basketball for some games and hockey as well. And I think that I'm willing to guess that our bosses probably just as a guess here, I'm willing to guess they got far more calls from the Gophers.
Well, Royce release Twins. A t-shirt at the state fair that was like, yeah. It was like not elite. Yes, it was kind of a clown on PJ Fleck. He was told to take those off.
But that's what I'm saying is colleges are worse.
Yeah.
So like this is sad, not surprising. But it's also not new that media entities have been in bed with, you know, teams or programs.
Yeah.
That goes back to the beginning of time.
But like on one hand, for us, for instance, we're kind of this like, so we at Hubbard Radio, we do have partnerships with, so St. Thomas and Minnesota United are two of our awesome sports partners. We used to have the Twins partnership and the Gophers partnership way back in the day, 10 years ago. I think because we don't have an official Vikings or Wolves or Twins, like the teams that we talk the most about on these shows, especially Vikings,
the Wild,
we feel like we're not going to have someone looking over our shoulder from the Vikings, you know, front office wondering why are you saying that about the Wolves? Why are you saying that about? Sure. So maybe it gives us a little freedom and advantage that like other entities don't have, but at the same time, like, KFAN on the radio side gets the advantage of every time they do something Vikings related content wise, they can tap the Vikings on the shoulder with millions of social media followers and like amplify what they're, it's an amazing marketing tool for them to grow their brand.
Absolutely.
So there's pros and cons to both. Like that radio station in Syracuse is probably not relevant if not for the Syracuse partnership. But on the flip side, a radio host can't tell the truth about Syracuse athletics because of the partnership. Right.
And just in our case with the Vikings, I like to think that we have tapped into, and I think we have a very smart audience of Vikings fans that want the truth. And some of them don't, and that's fine. Like if you just want to be told that this is all going great and that everything's great, and we have been very complimentary of what they've done this week. Mm-hmm. But the thing is, our audience knows that that's the truth. Because there have been times where we're like, what are they doing, right? And you know, I'm sure that there is a certain pod of Vikings fans who are like, I never really want to hear the truth unless it's positive.
Yeah.
But our audience out there, which is fantastic, has basically told us, no, we like how you do it because we want to share in what is the truth about how this team is going to eventually, hopefully someday before we all die, win a Super Bowl.
Yeah.
So it's great.
Yep. So we're kind of media nerds like that. We like to have these conversations.
It's super interesting.
Yeah. So hopefully Brent Axe gets a job somewhere.
Well, he's got the columnist job. So my guess is he's sort of a Royce type there, and he probably likes to write more. So he's probably fine.
Yeah. So, all right. That's a wrap on Feedback Friday here. A little Vikings discussion, a little how often should you wash your towels discussion, and a state
situational
local media
towel analytics, gentlemen. That's what I deal in. Towelytics. I deal in Towelytics. Me and Stella.
And for daily Vikings free agency fodder and discussion, Purple Daily is your home from now. Well, it's every day, regardless of what time of year it is. But we'll see you guys over there, our other daily show. Thanks for hanging out, Mackie and Jeb. We'll see you back on Monday.